I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. It is Tuesday, March 24th. The time now is 3:32 p.m. We're in the Belts Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska, the state capital. I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Bjorkman, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Tilton. Senator Wilikowski will be here shortly, and myself, Chair Kawasaki. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Kari Tupou from Senate Records and Zach Lawhorn, moderator with the Legislative Information Office. Today, we just have one item on the agenda, and it is a first hearing on Senate Joint Resolution 30. Senate Joint Resolution 30 is the support for military and increased infrastructure by the Senate State Affairs Committee. And we have staff to the Senate State Affairs Committee, Samuel Marquardt, to come and present the bill. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
For the record, Samuel Marquardt, intern to Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you all for
agreeing to hear this resolution. I'll go ahead and read a sponsor statement, followed by some brief comments, and then I'll be open for questions. Senate Joint Resolution 30, expressing gratitude for the United States military and supporting increased defense readiness through infrastructure development and public-military partnerships. The U.S. military is essential to the protection, economy, and culture of Alaska. Alaska is home to the greatest proportion of veterans of any state and the second highest proportion of active duty and reserve troops. Moreover, the unique geography of Alaska makes it critical to national defense, and military presence is greatly expanding in Alaska. However, Alaska currently lacks the infrastructure to meet the growing needs of the service, placing strain on both military readiness and Alaskan communities. Military-private collaboration opportunities, such as enhanced use lease agreements, EULs, help resolve this issue. EULs are a mechanism for military installations to lease out underutilized land to private developers. This ensures sufficient housing for both communities and service members. Joint use facilities represent another opportunity for collaboration, wherein infrastructure meets civilian and military needs simultaneously. For example, a warm storage facility that acts as an emergency shelter, or a recreation center that serves a local university while acting as a training center for the National Guard. Military installations interested in these opportunities must demonstrate to their chain of command at the Pentagon that the state supports such partnerships. To that end, this resolution expresses support for the U.S. military and pursuing mutually beneficial partnerships to ensure service members have access to the required infrastructure. These partnerships strengthen Alaskan communities while enhancing military readiness, ensuring a resilient future for both. So just to briefly summarize that, the resolution, very simply, first, supports the U.S. military, thanks them for everything they do for Alaska. And second, it supports two kinds of partnerships, EULs, which is where a base can lease out underutilized land to private developers. This is a great deal for the developers because they get a great deal for community members because it lowers housing costs, and a great deal for the military because they have convenient and high-quality housing right on base. And the second partnership is what's called dual-use facilities. As I mentioned, these are facilities that are simultaneously used by the military and a public or private institution. So, for example, at my university, UAS, our recreation center is a joint-use facility. It serves as a National Guard training center once a month, and during the week, I get to use it as a really high-quality gym. And the cost is split between the military and the university, saving both money. Now open for any questions.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction, Mr. Marquardt. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to tell you what an excellent job you did delivering this, your presentation. You almost sound like somebody that's in the military. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you very much, Chair Kawasaki. Mr. Marquardt, thank you for this excellent presentation. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about the KC-135 squadrons and where they might be located. What are they doing?
Through the chair to Senator Bjorkman, Samuel Marquardt, for the record. I don't have exact details on that. The KC-130s are, my understanding is they're planned to be at Eielson Air Force Base. I don't have more precise information than that. We have some invited testimony who may be able to shed light on that. And there's also information in the supporting resources that explore some of the future plans. Those are plans, so...
Senator Bjorkman, follow-up?
Excellent. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, many times we see KC-130s, maybe 135s, down doing touch-and-goes at the Kenai Airport. And so very frequent to our community, where folks can see those planes come and go. It's pretty exciting, so be excited to learn more about that. Maybe we'll hear from your invited testifiers.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Can you tell me, Mr. Marquardt, why you mentioned both the Department of Homeland Security, Secretary of the Army, Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Air Force, and those are the four who are listed under the Secretary of Defense?
Yeah, to the Chair, Samuel Marquardt, for the record. So the purpose that this resolution serves is that commanders of these installations can send this resolution to the Pentagon, to their higher-ups, to show that there's state buy-in for their projects. They're trying to move a fence that they can do an EUL. They need approval from the Pentagon to do that. This resolution is hopefully a part of that package. And specifically mentioning the Homeland Security is that is the department the Coast Guard falls under. The Coast Guard is one of the fastest expanding branches in Alaska. We have new icebreakers, new cutters, and many more personnel.
Thank you, Mr. Marquardt. Senator Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Marquardt, first, thank you for serving. And also thank you for being here as an intern and learning this process. I think some of the challenges has to do with housing for the increased military that we're going to be seeing coming to our state. And can you just expand a little bit on why it's so important for a service member to have housing before they come to the state and when they get here?
Absolutely. Senator Tilton, through the chair, for the record, Samuel Marquardt. Absolutely. So housing is incredibly important. You have military families who are moving very frequently and need a place to stay. They don't have time to be house hunting. As soon as they arrive at their duty station, they often have, sometimes they'll have like a week of leave at their commander's discretion, but sometimes they're showing up to work the next day. So it's important that there's readily available housing and high quality housing. The other component of this is the way bases are designated. Bases are either designated as what's called hardship posts, where your family is not allowed to accompany you, or a more conventional post where they are. So what we want to do is try and make as many installations as possible accompanied tours so that these service members can bring their families with them, bring those military families into the Alaskan community, not have to leave them home. Ideally, we want Alaska to be a home for veterans like it is. But if military service members can't bring their families with them, they're much less likely to make this a place they retire, a place they want to continue living.
Senator Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if a member of the military is stationed here and they don't have housing, then they come without their families, and we're separating families is what I understand. Is that correct? And so having this housing is very important to keep families together.
Senator Tilton, through the chair. For the record, Samuel Marquardt, that's correct. Yeah, if there's not enough housing, the military deems that there isn't sufficient housing, the base can be designated as a hardship post, and then your family is not allowed to accompany you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Tilton. And I'll just say that Eielson's one of those ones that's getting to the point because we have 54 fifth-gen fighters, F-35s up there. Usually it's folks who are Air Force captains and above, usually have larger families, usually are stationed at places that they would want to bring their family to and not single year unaccompanied tours. And so we want to make sure that folks can come up with their families so their families can be part of our community. Of course, that also brings a lot of talent to the community. Spouses, of course, we've talked about spouse reciprocity for licensure, for instance. And that's a big deal. Definitely adds to the community to have kids in our schools, and then of course families moving up to Fairbanks, and a lot of them do choose to remain here. We've got several legislators who were here with the military who are now living here and stationed here and now living here. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank you again for doing such a really good job. And I made a statement. I said you sound like somebody who's in the military, and I just found out that you are in the Coast Guard, so I was right on. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Are there any further questions for Mr. Marquardt? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we're going to go ahead and open up invited and public testimony. If we just have one person on invited testimony, and that's Jason Hoke. Jason's the executive director of the Copper Valley Development Association, the regional ARDER with State of Alaska, DCRA. He's also representing the United States Department of Energy, Arctic Energy Ambassador. Welcome to this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Kawasaki, and thank you and everyone else for hearing this very important resolution, I think, for the military and for infrastructure in the state. As you said, I am an Arter from the Copper Valley, have been for close to 20 years now. I was also the federal chair, co-chair of the Denali Commission for quite a while. And that's one of the programs of the Denali Commission and the Department of War Office of Local Defense Communities Cooperation, the Project ARDAR is coming through, of which I met with you a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Chair, and Senator Tilton as well. This is a very important and marked resolution because it elevates our bases here and the military operations here in the state of Alaska in the eyes of the Pentagon and the other federal agencies back east, showing our cooperation and our willingness to help support the military as well as support infrastructure buildup that supports them is a big deal. I wanted to address a couple things, if I could. Mr. Chair, Senator Bjorkman, through the chair, you had mentioned about the 130s doing touch and goes. Excuse me. Here in my neck of the woods, Copper River Valley, we have the Gulcana Airport, and our airstrip is just a little bit too short, so they do some touch and goes. One of the proposals to duality projects, and I sit on the duality committee with DOW and the Denali Commission, is to perhaps extend those airstrips so cargo planes such as a 130 could land, as well as maybe put in some warm, dry storage for both military goods and for residential use as well. If I could also address Senator Hilton through the chair, her question about the housing market. How you doing, Senator? It's good to see you again. You know, in Fairbanks, they only have 230 homes available for sale right now, and you've got 540 families moving in there. If you know anything about economics, that's going to sap the market and boost the prices of any homes that are out there, which would hurt the community. And what we're trying to do is assist the military in its buildup here by putting out these EULs. And lastly, Senator, through the chair, Senator Gray, the Department of Homeland Security now hosts the Coasties, of which Samuel's a proud member of. And Samuel, you did a fine job. But I urge all of you to please support this resolution. I know that it is bipartisan, and it is it's Alaskan, and it's an American thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoke. Are there any questions? I just have a brief question, and this is just if you know the answer to it. When there's an enhanced use lease agreement for a particular part of land, what happens to the disposition after that time is over? So if a constructor were to build housing, for instance, what happens to that housing, and what happens to the stock? What happens to the land?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't have an exact answer, but they're 50-year leases, and I would imagine in 50 years, if it was a housing unit, they'd probably need some work. And they'd probably have to go back to the negotiation table. And unfortunately, I left my crystal ball back at the office. But I would say it's going to probably be a whole new negotiated deal at that time. But 50 years is a long time, and hopefully it would be the same deal that we have going right now. That would just keep on in perpetuity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hoke. Any questions? All right, hearing and seeing none, we are opening up public testimony once again. Is there anybody in the room or online who'd like to testify for Senate Joint Resolution 30? Anybody? Hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony for now. Any public testimony can be sent to the Senate State Affairs Committee at senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. Are there any further questions on Senate Joint Resolution number 30 today before we set the bill aside? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and set Senate Joint Resolution 30 aside for a future hearing. That would conclude our meeting for today. On Thursday, March 26th, we've not officially but will officially cancel the meeting. But our next meeting is going to be scheduled Tuesday, April 2nd, April 1st, the 31st, whatever the next Tuesday is, 7 days from today, we will have a hearing. We plan to take up SB 239 relating to motor vehicles and licensure. Without any more business coming before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect that it's 3:48 p.m.